Breaking news, an ACLJ FOIA has revealed that President Obama's White House counsel sent an email to FBI Director Jim Comey the night before President Trump's inauguration. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's good to be back in the studio. My dad and I were traveling yesterday. We're actually in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Cobb Galleria for the Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference, still going on. That was the first day yesterday. My dad received the Justice Scalia Award for his work for President Trump. He's addressed the group, of course. We know, of course, Chairman Ralph Reed very well. He's been on this broadcast a number of times and worked for together a long time. And Vice President Pence spoke there as well yesterday in Atlanta. So that was a great to be there, to be amongst the grassroots, to be amongst those of you who I know are going to be working hard in this election cycle and are doing everything you can, even with COVID, to do that. So that's where we were. And I know Logan and Will and Rick Rennell, our special advisor, they kind of covered the debate. I don't want to go back through that again. I think, listen, there's going to be some changes made to the next debate. I don't think we're going to see the same issues in the vice presidential debate. I think the next debate is a more of a town hall forum. So I think the issues about changes are really more likely the third debate, which has similar rules to the first debate. Enough on that right now. I think that you got plenty of commentary on that. It's still going on TV. They're still commenting on that. Now that, you know, when they comment on President Trump's rallies, which I think it's great that he's out there doing that. But we've got something to talk about we have not yet gotten to on the broadcast yet, because so much has happened these first couple days of the week with the debate, with the nomination of Judge Barrett, all of that. We uncovered through a FOIA. So we sent a FOIA. Now, this was a FOIA about Comey's spies inside the White House, Anthony Ferranti, Jordan Ray Kelly, and Tashina Gower. You may remember one of those was like the liaison to the FBI. One was someone who somehow did a tech job and somehow got to stay in the White House, and one was at the NSC. So anyhow, we did a FOIA on the Comey spies, and we got an interesting reply back on this. From when we sent the FOIA out for the FBI records, we got a FOIA and of course DOJ and FBI records. And it's interesting because the email is initially sent from the White House counsel to President Obama on Thursday, January 19th at 3:00 Eastern time. It's an email. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, you'd see it on the screen, from Neil Eggleston. So he was the last White House counsel to President Obama. The email is to, well, we know some names that weren't redacted because they're not, Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe. The date, January 19th. What happens the next day? President Trump is sworn in as the next president of the United States. The classification is top secret. And he says in the email, this is from the White House counsel, Director and Deputy Director, please see the attached letter. Thanks, Neil. That attached letter then is sent from Jim Comey, again, at 10:00 at night, 9:52 p.m., to his general counsel at the FBI, James Baker, to review this, FYI. Now, what's interesting, they won't give us the attachment, so we're taking the FBI to court. What top secret info did they have to send from the White House counsel to the FBI director the night before President Trump was inaugurated? This is in light of the fact that Jim Comey says he doesn't remember anything about the CIA asking the FBI to investigate into whether or not it was Hillary Clinton's campaign that was actually colluding with the Russians, and it was approved by Hillary. Britain briefed President Obama on it, but somehow Jim Comey just can't recall any of that. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110, but we've uncovered this because of our FOIAs. And they must relate to the FBI spies in the White House, because that's what our FOIA was about. So it has to be in relation to that. And there's more when we get back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Now, Jim Comey, the copious note taker, he's so weak. You know, he advised a whole two-part series on Showtime about himself, played by Jeff Daniels, known from Dumb and Dumber, playing Jim Comey. I think that makes perfect sense. But you know, he was a copious note taker. Remember, he took the notes from the president, leaked them out through his law professor friend. But in yesterday's hearing, he doesn't remember the CIA, who says they did tell him, and they went to the FBI, and he would have been briefed on this, and people around him. Rick Grinnell actually tweeted out today that there's no way, even if Jim Comey doesn't remember, that there's not 10 other people that don't, that do. Because if he was briefed on it, there were people around him that were briefed on it, and people like Andrew McCabe, and they need to be asked the question too. Did you ever investigate what the CIA asked you to investigate, which is that Hillary Clinton and her campaign were actually the beginning of the entire Russia collusion story? And that's because their emails got hacked and they wanted to blame it on President Trump. So their emails get hacked. The server gets hacked. Hillary Clinton knows, uh-oh, I've got this private server. It just got hacked. I need to turn this around on my opponent. So let's just say that he decided to do this hacking with the Russians. That's where it all started. The CIA picked up on that. And they actually asked the FBI to investigate it. But Jim Comey got asked yesterday under oath, Senate Judiciary Committee, do you remember this at all, Jim? Anything? Anything at all? Take a listen.
You don't remember getting an investigatory lead from the intelligence community? September the 7th, 2016, the U.S. intelligence officials forwarded an investigative referral of FBI to FBI Director James Comey and Assistant Director of Counterintelligence Peter Strzok regarding U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's approval of a plan concerning U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections as a means of distracting the public from her use of a private email server. You don't remember getting that or being taught? That doesn't ring a bell.
Ring bells with me.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty stunning thing. It didn't ring a bell, but it did come to you.
So we know he was briefed on it. And then we know the FBI was even asked to do an investigation, Than, into what the CIA intel had picked up, that Hillary Clinton was actually the source of this story. In fact, what they picked up was that the Russians had been looking through their intelligence community. The Russians had picked up that Clinton's campaign was going to try and blame them, Russia, and the Trump campaign. So that's how the CIA came about this info. is that Russia was saying, you know, well, their intel was briefing their leaders saying, we're about to be blamed by for this by Hillary Clinton, and they're going to try to link us to the Trump campaign. And Than, there's more in our FOIA as well. And I want you to just explain to people again, I tried to do it once, but just one more time, maybe a different way, that this FOIA that we filed is everything in response to this, including even this very generic meeting that Jim Comey did on Microsoft Office 365 on April 10th, 2017. It said the meeting organizers, Jim Comey, that was given back to us. It doesn't tell us what the meeting was about. In response to a FOIA about his three spies at the White House, tell people about it.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to lay out, Jordan, you're right. But first of all, let me just tell you, James Comey is such a slippery guy, especially when it comes to virtual conferencing, as we saw yesterday in the committee. I mean, I can't tell you how many times he said, I don't remember, I don't know, doesn't ring a bell. By the way, Jordan, how disheartening is it if the director of the FBI doesn't know anything about the most important investigation, as he called it, that is going on inside his investigation? If that were true, Jordan, then it begs the question, what were you doing? But here's really the bottom line and how it relates to our FOIA. We know it's not true, Jordan. I mean, we got the information from our FOIA request that shows it's not true. We have evidence now that he was right in the middle of it all. And further, we have evidence that he was communicating with who about it? With the Obama White House, Jordan, that has said they know nothing about it. All of those things cannot simultaneously be true. And now we have the documentation to prove it. This correspondence, Jordan, that happens the night before the inauguration, it has to pertain to Director Comey's scheme to put spies inside the Trump White House. If it was not pertaining to that, Jordan, we would not have got the document part of our FOIA request. That was the only thing that we were asking for. And this is James Comey forwarding that email from the White House counsel's office. The White House counsel's office sent it to Director Comey and Deputy Director Andy McCabe. He has forwarded on to his general counsel, James Baker. Now, here's the one thing I would tell you, Jordan. They did not give us the attached letter, so we don't know exactly what information was forwarded, but we're going back to court, and I will tell you, here's what the Department of Justice told us just this week. We're going to get that by October 29th, Jordan, so just a few weeks away. But just to lay out the top level, we have to put to rest now this idea
I heard that correct. So we're going to get the letter?
Well, that's what we've asked for. And in the filing, the government has said the FBI anticipates it will be able to review the records subject to that consultation, produce all responsive, non-exempt information subject to FOIA, and complete its response to subpart one of your request by October 29th, 2020. So, Jordan, we've been telling people more is coming. We're getting more in just the next few weeks.
Did you buy into kind of like the president's concern? I don't think there's going to be any action taken on Christopher Wray, and he may be doing a fine job, but there seems to be, I know he stepped into a very difficult situation. It's not easy to take over those departments like that. They're working against you half the time, especially the FOIA office, lots of bureaucrats. But it seems like Chris Wray could have taken the same positions like the former acting director, now our special advisor, Rick Grenell, and declassify this and put this information out.
Yeah, we don't know exactly because we don't know what's
because
in the letter.
Because a lot of this was classified for 10 years. If you look at the emails, they classify them for 10 years. They say it's top secret for 10 years, and then it can be declassified. So it's not forever, but it's for now until at least the next, even if President Trump's reelected through his entire term in office, two terms in office, and then the next administration could then, they could be released, you know, through FOIA or anything like that very easily.
Entirely possible, Jordan. I would say even probable. It's hard to, you can't say with certainty without knowing what's in there, but I certainly think he could do it. And I do want to make one clarification, Jordan. We are going to get another production by October 29th. We're almost certainly going to have to go back to court and fight for that attached letter for the next set of productions. But look, it's trickling out. We're going to have to keep going to court, but let's not lose the top line here, Jordan. The White House Counsel's Office and Director Jim Comey were in direct communication the night before the inauguration, and it was about the spy scheme that Director Comey had to send spies over to the White House. So look, Director Comey can come in front of the committee and say whatever he wants. The only thing he's done, Jordan, is open himself up to problems in the future because we know the truth. He was involved. He did know about it, no matter how many times he says he didn't.
So we've got, I mean, all this relating back to the Comey spies. And this is what we got back. So another FBI record the ACLJ obtained in this FOIA lawsuit shows that You know, we have the meeting being organized. We also, though, have this from 2016, October 2016. So during the presidential election, about a month before the election, we're kind of around that right now. I mean, we're a couple days away from October 3rd right now. So this would be, again, that time of year. An email from Andrew McCabe responding to the White House counsel and Jim Comey and Lisa Page. I understand your concerns, Neil, with our request. I'm happy to come over with a small team to discuss with you the specifics at your earliest convenience. Thanks, Andrew McCabe. And then the email before that from Jim Comey, from Neil Eggleston, who was the White House counsel for President Obama on September 30th. So it took a few days for Andrew McCabe to respond. But this is all happening right before the election. Jim and Andy, CCing Tosh to print for Loretta, I mean literally the Attorney General and Sally Yates, the Deputy Attorney General, both traveling. Response to recent outreach from FBI regarding FBI's proposal to conduct a full content review of, and of course, that content review of is redacted for those of you watching. We have the opportunity to review a memorandum for Deputy Director McCabe, and then a lot of redactions. Notwithstanding this concern, we don't see what the concern is because that's redacted. The concern is redacted. We stand ready to work with the FBI and DOJ, as we have previously said, to discuss ways forward. To that end, we're able to meet with DOJ and FBI leadership to discuss next steps. Thanks, Neil. That's Neil, the White House counsel. I mean, we see an email from Andrew McCabe to Jim Comey, to Jim Comey's general counsel, to James Rubicki as well, saying, interesting response from Neil. I was not aware that we had shared our request with the Deputy Attorney General with the White House. We should discuss where, how we should reach back, set up a meeting. So we don't know what this is about, except for we know it must relate, Than. And we're going to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. I don't think there's enough attention on how wimpy Jim Comey is. And if he was that out of touch that he doesn't remember this, why should you believe anything in his books? Why should you believe any of his notes? I don't. I think he's a liar. I think he's a guy who got in way over his head, full of himself, higher honor, more like no honor, and incapable. No one liked him. Should have been fired. Would have been fired by Hillary Clinton, too. It's a disaster for that. Doesn't remember the key moments. And this is all in response to the Comey spies FOIA we filed. A lot of redacted emails from the White House counsel leading up to Election Day. I mean, Inauguration Day, the night before, with an attached document that, of course, they didn't want to send at the FBI. Chris Ray, if you're ever listening, if your team's ever paying attention, maybe get this stuff moving a little faster. Be nice to know. We'll be back. Take your calls, 1-800-684-3110 on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, I think it's very important to note that this FOIA that we filed in response to this was about Jim Comey's spies. So everything in this FOIA that they gave over to us had to relate back to the three individuals that were at the White House for Jim Comey to spy on the Trump administration. We've gone through that a number of times. The fact that it ended up with documents being sent like from the White House counsel, the top legal advisor to the president, inside the White House. And for just so you understand who that is now, that's Pat Cipollone. Remember during the impeachment trial, it would be my dad who kind of took the lead as President Trump's counsel, and then you had his White House counsel, Pat Cipollone. You saw both of them involved because it involved both the president's individual capacity and as president, so the White House involved as well. And so that's Pat Cipollone now. So you had that person for Obama emailing Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the day before the inauguration of President Trump. So he's been elected, saying, you know, see attached to Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe. Not much they were going to be able to do at that point. But again, I feel like Than probably papering a trail, much like we saw done with Susan Rice. They loved to write these paper trails. And they were all doing it, it seemed like, in the last 24 hours they had at the White House.
I totally agree with that, Jordan. It's a paper trail that goes all the way back to at least September 30th, 2016. The documents that we just uncovered confirm that. And I just want to reiterate that. So from at least September 30th, 2016, leading all the way up to the night before the inauguration, all of these people were aware of this scheme to put FBI assets inside the incoming administration's White House. Now, of course, they didn't know that he won the election back in September of 2016. But listen to these names, Jordan. James Comey, Andrew McCabe, James Baker, James Rubicki, Loretta Lynch, Sally Yates, White House Counsel Neil Eggleston, and then Jordan. I mean, we already have the documents from the January 5th meeting inside the Oval Office. Also, President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. So all of them were aware of the scheme. All of them were briefed on it. We have documents showing multiple briefings of the White House, Jordan. So I'm just tired of this excuse that both sides are giving that this was a surprise to everybody, that Sally Yates didn't know what was happening when she was asked inside that meeting. No, she knew dating back to September 30th that this was part of the plan. Jordan, there's going to be more coming out, but I've got to tell you, I think the picture is pretty clear now. They're not admitting it, but the documents that we have show that this was a scheme that lasted for well over a year and a half.
Folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Similar calls, I'll take them in the order they came. We'll take both of them. Pat in Michigan, online too. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, my question is, thank you for taking my call, but my question is I'm, you know, kind of still floundering around what's going on with all this. But what I wonder is, after this many years and all this information you're finding, if charges can be brought up against Comey and some of these other people after this late of a time, and because, you know, they've done wrong, they've broken the law, obviously, so can they be charged with anything?
Listen, I think charging Hillary Clinton, I know there were the chance of locking her up, it was 4 years ago. It would have taken probably more information sooner rather than later. Though this new revelation, I mean, listen, we are weeks before an election. Was it 30 days? 32? I mean, less than that. Yeah, about 31 days, 30, I don't know. We'll get the exact number from our producer, Will. There's not going to be Hillary. It's 33 days. Okay. So Hillary Clinton's not going to be charged in 33 days. But let me tell you what will happen. None of these people will really see justice, like the special counsel's team who was doing things we believe were illegal, like Peter Strzok. Unless those people are indicted very soon by Durham, they will not see justice unless President Trump's reelected. I'm not telling you who to vote for. And I'm not saying that's the reason why you should vote for President Trump, by the way. But all of these investigations will stop. I mean, think about, Than, how long it took for us to find out. And I mean, it makes some sense because this was CIA intel to the FBI that they had picked up from the Russians, because the Russians said, uh-oh, we're about to get blamed for hacking Hillary Clinton's server, and they're going to say that we did it in coordination with Trump's campaign. So, you know, we have to prepare for this. CIA picks that up and says, wait, Hillary Clinton's campaign is putting this whole thing out? Then Brennan briefs President Obama about that, and the CIA goes to Jim Comey and the FBI and asks them to investigate it, and we have no idea whether it was investigated yet or not. So people used to say, well, maybe Hillary Clinton isn't going to go to jail. Maybe, you know, all this stuff has been investigated. You move on. President Trump beat her. Now I think you look back at it, you say, you know what? They're looking at the Clinton Foundation again. They should be looking at this.
Yeah, all the reporting suggests that they are looking at the Clinton Foundation through John Durham's investigation. But look, I want to pivot back to Director Comey, because he actually commented on both of those issues during yesterday's hearing, Jordan. He said that he would not have signed the Carter Page application knowing what he knows today. He also admitted that they knew about the fact that the political opposition to the president was funding the dossier and yet did not present it to the court. He was pressed on that repeatedly, and that's when he reverted, Jordan, to the answers of, I don't know, I'm not aware. Jordan, if his department, if his agency knew that there was a political bias behind the information they were presenting to the court to surveil an American citizen, and he, as the director of the FBI, did not make sure that the court knew that information. Remember, Jordan, they call it a certification. I mean, he signed the document certifying that the information was correct. If he even didn't, if he just didn't know that they were not presenting to the court and he certified that, Jordan, I think he's in legal jeopardy. So look, maybe it's a higher threshold when you're talking about Hillary Clinton, who is a political candidate at that point. But when you're talking about a public servant with the authority that James Comey had and he certified those applications knowing about those errors, Jordan, I got to tell you, if I were him, I would be hoping that John Durham did not have a long time to finish that investigation, because I would be very concerned about where that investigation would end up.
Yeah, absolutely. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, another exchange. I want to play this about the FISA court and the FBI application. Senator Josh Hawley, a big fan of his out of Missouri, is asking in this exchange with Jim Comey and the FISA and misleading the FISA court. Take a listen.
In this case, the FISA court said that they had reason to doubt the reliability of FBI applications across cases because of the level of misleading information that you personally signed off on. Do you regret your role in this unprecedented misleading of a FISA court?
I don't regret my role. I regret that. Why not? I'm sorry?
Why don't you regret your role in the unprecedented misleading of a FISA court?
Well, I regret that the FBI supplied information to a FISA court that was inaccurate, incomplete, and should have been updated.
Do you regret that you signed off on it?
Well, I regret that it happened. The only reason I'm hesitating is what the FBI director does in connection with a FISA is actually very narrow. But put that to the side. It's important that it be accurate, and it wasn't, and I regret that very much.
But he's not responsible for it. Then, very similar. I mean, Jim Comey, basically, this hearing, and that's what I kind of expected him to do, wasn't there be bombshells that he would announce, that he would either say, I'm not really responsible for it, but that was bad, which he's kind of already said before. And then I was interested that he said he never doesn't remember at all something as big as this.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls. So at the very end of that, you know, we're playing the typical Jim Comey. You know, so in the hearing yesterday, it wasn't that Jim Comey was going to make news. It was more the news that the CIA was asking his FBI at the time to investigate intel that they had picked up the Russians had picked up that Hillary Clinton was going to blame them for the hack into her server and then tie that hack to them working, the Russians working with Trump. And the CIA picked that intel up and said, you know, we need to brief President Obama about it, Brennan did, and then asked the FBI to investigate whether the Clinton campaign was behind the entire collusion narrative. And it appears that it was. But then Jim Comey's asked, you know, did you ever look into it? We've already played this sound. We have to play it again. He said he can't even remember it. We're bringing in Harry Hutchison in as well, ACLJ, senior policy analyst, attorney as well as former law professor. You know, we've seen Jim Comey do this time and time again. He has great memory for his notes that he takes out of his office and gives to his friend to leak to the newspaper. He has a great memory. If you look at his book, I think Donald Trump Jr. tweeted it out, and our special advisor, Rick Rennell, replied to the tweet. You just look at passages of his book, and he'll say, I remember everything. I remember every detail of going down the street and this. But he's asked about, you know, did you ever hear about the CIA asking you, hey, Hillary Clinton may have made up the entire collusion thing because Russia is saying in their intel that they're not saying publicly, but privately, we need to be prepared for this because they're going to say that we did this and that we're working with the Trump campaign. And he said, no, I don't remember that. And that seems like something you would remember, Harry, if you are Jim Comey, the expert in memory, the guy who took copious notes on everything he was ever told.
Absolutely. So what we have is an illustration of James Comey's selective memory. Apparently, it has been accidentally wiped, like the special counsel's phones, by accident. The ACLJ's FOIA revelations, coupled with James Comey's testimony yesterday, leads to one of two conclusions. First, that James Comey was duped by FBI staffers. Or second, that James Comey was stunningly stupid. It turns out, of course, that both of these two things could be true at the same time. What we have in this particular case is clear evidence that James Comey and the White House Counsel's Office were inadvertently or deliberately involved in a conspiracy, in my judgment, to pervert the course of justice. This was all part, I think, of a cover-up for the Hillary Clinton campaign. And I think James Comey's testimony yesterday illustrates beyond question that he was deeply involved, and I don't think he can escape judgment, certainly not history's judgment going forward.
I mean, this is, again, I want to get to the calls, 1-800-684-3110, but I just want to underscore, we know, Than, going back to even January 5th, you know, on January 5th, how did the Obama briefing go? I mean, we now know that President Obama, from the FBI officials, we know President Obama was briefed about Flynn. We know he was briefed about, and that Joe Biden was there, and they were unmasking, and now our special advisor, Rick Rennell, was the acting director of National Intelligence, who put all that information out then, but they very well also could have been briefing President Obama on this information about Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I think they likely were.
They said they did.
Look, the FBI employees knew it, Jordan. I mean, that's what the text said. What's the word on how Obama's briefing went? And then it closed with, Trump was right. Still not put together. Why do we do this to ourselves? What is wrong with these people? Jordan, if the mainline FBI employees knew that the president was being briefed, I think it was a pretty open secret, right?
I mean, I think so. We're going to take your call. So 1-800-684-3110. A lot of calls coming in, a lot to answer about this. And it's a lot to take in 33 days before the country chooses next president. Whether or not we'll get the votes in that day remains to be seen. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Interesting. I just got a news alert that Governor Cuomo has released, New York has released an app that alerts you when you're near anyone that's been diagnosed with COVID-19. How does all that work? Did he work with Jim Comey on this app? How are they tracing all of it? I mean, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but invasion of privacy, what are you signing off on? I guess you have to sign up for this app, but did the person with COVID sign up for the app? And do they still have COVID? I mean, they're walking around with, is that what they're saying? Like, you know, but you can beat it and be done with it and take your test. So I just think all this is bizarre. Here's why I say that too. This reminds me of the paper trails we find. This reminds me of the information that's available to people like Jim Comey. So for him to go in and say, I can't remember, that's basically like taking the fifth. So he's not saying it didn't happen. He's not saying it did happen. He just doesn't want to give a definitive answer because he doesn't want to go to jail if he gives a definitive answer that's wrong while he's under oath. And he doesn't really want to talk about it, because really all Jim Comey wants to talk about is what book he's got coming out or TV show about him, which, dear Lord, who wants to watch that? I mean, seriously, maybe there's a reason why on-demand TV, things like Netflix and Amazon, doing better than places like Showtime. Maybe it's because they're kind of like the mainstream media. They put out the same stuff that you're like, you think that like 30-ish days before the election, people want to watch Jim Comey's story? I mean, it's too recent. He's a liar. Neither side likes him. He's not a good guy. Ask Hillary Clinton if she likes him. Ask Sally Yates about him. He's a rogue. And who needs to see his story? And if he remembered everything in such detail for that 4-hour-ish almost, I got through about 25 minutes, I'll tell you the truth, and shut it off. But I did want to see, like, because he remembered great details about that, about all these meetings he went to and all these people. But he can't remember if he was ever told that the CIA came to him and said, you know, Hillary Clinton is going to tell the country that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to hack her illegal server, Harry. I mean, that he can't remember that. That's a big deal. Whether they researched it and they found out that the Russians were making it up or not, that would be something you'd remember coming from the CIA. And it was big enough that John Brennan briefed the President of the United States about it.
Absolutely. So we have a clear and unmistakable record indicating that James Comey and high-ranking members of the FBI were in the loop. We have evidence showing that John Brennan of the CIA, that he was in the loop. All of these individuals possessed information, probative information, suggesting that Hillary Clinton actually had engaged in a conspiracy with Russian operatives, and then they decided to frame Donald Trump. Now, James Comey, who took, as you correctly point out, meticulous notes, is saying, oh, it doesn't ring a bell. I don't remember. It does suggest at the end of the day that his memory is protected by a password, and he has accidentally entered the password incorrectly more than 25 times.
I mean, yeah, exactly, right? His phone is wiped clean. He just can't do it. His brain has been wiped clean, except for if it's for the TV show that he's getting paid for. He remembers all those meetings and how Loretta Lynch acted, how her facial expression, he remembers. You know, he knew, I guess, pillow talk details between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, if you did watch that. I mean, it was absurd. He goes, you know, all that. He was an advisor to the show, but he can't remember literally the CIA, who briefed the president on it at the time, President Obama, and John Brennan, coming to him and saying, you need to look into this, that Hillary Clinton is just making up this whole Russia collusion thing. That had been important to remember before a special counsel was appointed, before he leaked documents. Remember, he leaked his documents to get a special counsel appointed, his notes from meetings with the president. Would have been good to know if he investigated whether or not Hillary Clinton was making all the collusion up, and we didn't need a special counsel to drag our country through the mud. By the way, the one thing I will say about the debate last night, you know why the debate was like that on Tuesday night? Do you know why it was like that? Because of people like Jim Comey. Because they did drag the president through the mud for 2.5-3 years. And then they wanted to impeachment on another issue. Went from Russia to Ukraine. So they are responsible in many ways for the kind of tone in our politics, I'd say. Because they divided the country. I'd say the riots in the streets, the burning down buildings, the people having to take sides on racism, which is like ridiculous in our country. It's not an issue you need to, it should not be partisan or political. I think it all goes back to actually Jim Comey and what they were doing. They tried to take out a president. It didn't end well. He responded. He's still angry about it for good reason, because he's still finding out more and more details about the information. And it's even from his own people in the departments that he runs. And people say, oh, well, shouldn't he just be running them better? We all know the bureaucracy at the ACLJ. Okay, you can drain the swamp to an extent. You know what happens? You get a special counsel appointed going after you. Then you get impeached by the House. Now, of course, he was exonerated in the Senate. But I just want to make that clear to everybody. This is from the debate. Take a listen. President Trump, Bite 34.
When I listened to Joe talking about a transition, there's been no transition from when I won. I won that election. And if you look at crooked Hillary Clinton, if you look at all of the different people, there was no transition, because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our first lady. They were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country. And we've caught them. We've caught them all. We've got it all on tape. We've caught them all. And by the way, you gave the idea for the Logan Act against General Flynn. You better take a look at that, because we caught you in a sense. And President Obama was sitting in the office. He knew about it too. So don't tell me about a free transition.
I agree 100%. His transition was being undermined by the intelligence community of the United States, not of the Russians, not of the Chinese, America. America was undermining the president. So he has reason to be angry. I want to take your calls. Jack in Ohio, line 4. Jack, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. It's a two-part question.
Okay.
You know, following up on your comments about the crimes done against the president, is it true that John Durham stated, or Bill Barr stated for him, that they weren't going to proceed with any indictments till after the election because it will appear political?
So there have been speculation in the media about that, Jack. So I'm going to get your second question too. Speculation in the media that it won't happen. We're 33 days out. I think it's just speculation. I have no insider information to give you. I don't know anything unique about it. But I think that investigators, they don't come to an end unless they're fired or stopped. So until they're done. And I think this investigation will be stopped if Joe Biden becomes president. Will there be things that come out? Things are still coming out. I mean, we find out about the CIA. That came through the DOJ DOJ actually approved Lindsey Graham releasing that to the American people. So it wasn't just something that was done behind closed doors in the Senate. You got to read it. So that's question one. There's been no statement from Durham saying that's not going to happen. That does not happen. U.S. attorneys don't announce that when they're going to when they won't indict people.
Understand. I just think it's so critical that
it is
American
getting very close.
People,
I get your point. I mean, it's getting very close to the election, Jack. I get your point and your frustration. Don't get me wrong. I'm just as frustrated as you.
The critical part of that is really the American people have a right prior to voting
to know,
to find out if crimes were done against the president, what they were, at least state out the evidence they have before they vote on a person that may have been complicit in the crime.
I 100% agree with you. I know Durham said they were hampered by COVID because you couldn't get grand juries together for a while. That's not untrue. But I am a bit disappointed, I will tell you, in the speed of these investigations. It seems like typical government, unfortunately. And I hope that they surprise me. I hope that they surprise me and that they, in fact, come forward. Is there another question you had, Jack?
No, just, you know.
All right. All right. It's frustrating, folks. I get that. I mean, let me tell you something. I was a member of the president's legal team who's been going through all this for, it seems like, forever, because it has been since the beginning of his administration. So the entire time President Trump's been there, he's been going through this, and before, during his transition. I'm going to take your phone calls again, 1-800-684-3110. Final segment coming up so we can take all your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So we've got the second debate coming up. That's a different format. Polls coming out here and there. Viewership was still at about 74 million, pretty high, not as high as last time. When President Trump was kind of new on the scene last time, you had two big names. You had Trump and Clinton in those debates. I think that people are probably not as interested in Joe Biden either. And we've seen President Trump for 4 years. You know, 74 million people, still a lot of people. But I do think there have to be changes to the debate. I don't think it was perfect. I don't think it probably accomplished a lot. There were good moments in the debate. There were good points made in the debate. But it was, I think, tough for that to get through to to most people watching it. I bet our audience picked up on the key points, but you had to be pretty in tune to even be able to pay attention to that when you had so much back and forth. That's kind of not too nice, maybe, about the actual debate, too back and forth. But we're going to have two more of those. We're going to have a vice presidential debate as well, and we're going to take your phone calls when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. What do you want to see? I don't know if they had time to get to this. What would you want to see different from President Trump in the next debate? We'll take your calls when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. So we're going to start taking your phone calls now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Our producer Will wrote in that, you know, the fact that Comey went from one with the command of all the facts to the I can't remember guy makes me think that he is in trouble. I do think he's in trouble. I think a lot of his associates are in trouble as well. I want to get to your phone calls now. 1-800-684-3110. Ty's been on the line on line three, calling from Texas. Ty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello.
Hey, Ty, we're having problems with your phone right now. Hang on. We'll try to get the connection fixed. I know you've been hanging on. Talk to us. Just get the connection fixed. They'll let me know. We'll get back to you. Let's go to Cole in California on line five. Cole, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you. I guess I'm just having a little trouble understanding how James Comey can sit in committee under oath and not remember all of these details, and how easy it is for him to write a book and sit in front of a, you know, a television camera on a TV show and to be able to remember anything he wants to remember. It just, to me, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, no, I don't think it's not right, and he shouldn't be able to get away with it. And, you know, I think that the truth is, when you really get to this, Harry, you have Jim Comey basically taking the fifth at the hearing yesterday. That's basically what he was doing by saying he couldn't remember. By saying he couldn't remember, he didn't say it didn't happen or did happen. It's a very specific kind of answer. And I guess he just doesn't mind looking foolish in this. And you know what? I think it's easier to do when you're sitting at your kitchen table. And that's what he's getting to do right now. He's not in a hearing room. He's not sweating. The cameras aren't. There's not 100 photographers taking his photo. He's sitting at, it looks like, his dining room table. And he's supposed to be under oath still, but it seems a little bit easier to say, you know what, we've been through a lot right now, and I just don't remember.
I agree with your analysis, and I agree with the caller's point. James Comey's brain seems to have an on and off a switch. And my suspicion is that, advised by counsel, he is answering all of these damning questions in a particular way so as to avoid potential culpability down the road. And so I agree with a caller, and certainly James Comey's statements demand further investigation.
All right, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to get an update, though, but from Than again, because I think this is always important to do on the broadcast when there's action or movement. And Than, that's the COVID relief. Because everybody listening to this broadcast right now, that can affect them. Whether they own a small business, whether they work for a small business, whether they work for a big company, or they're unemployed right now, they lost a job, or they're wondering if there's going to be another loan or another stimulus check. Where does that stand? I know the House has been moving things. The Senate has moved things. Where does it stand right now?
Yeah, it actually looked yesterday, Jordan, for a moment that maybe a deal had been struck. We still don't have a deal, but Speaker Pelosi did pull her HEROES Act, which is her version, her wish list, so to speak, of COVID stimulus, off the floor last night because of renewed negotiations with both the White House and the Senate. They are actually pretty close together. I mean, at one point, Jordan, they were about $4 trillion apart. Now the reports are that the White House most recent offer is $1.6 trillion, and Speaker Pelosi is at $2.2 trillion. So I don't want to minimize, you know, $600 million. It's still a lot of money, but that's pretty close in terms of negotiations. I think there's actually a pretty decent chance they can come together on a top line number. I think the bigger question is, Jordan, is how much of the waste can be scrubbed out of that to make it worth it? Things like, you know, over the top unemployment insurance that actually won't actually make it to people who are unemployed. And then maybe most specifically, dollars for state governments to bail out bad budgets and irresponsible spending on the state level. But again, again, Jordan, I said this on yesterday's broadcast, and I want to say it again, or a couple of days ago. The reason that this is still alive is because the White House reengaged and said, look, no, we do want to negotiate. We will go above what Senate Republicans will do. If Speaker Pelosi is willing to actually negotiate, we want to do it as well. That's why there's still a chance here, Jordan. I don't know if it gets done, but the continuing resolution did get done yesterday, so this is really the last big ticket item on the table. I think there's still a chance.
All right. I mean, so there you go, folks. I wanted to update you on that. Let me take the next call. Ty in Texas. Let's see if that connection is working. Hey, Ty.
Yes.
Hey, we got you. You sound great.
My question is Comey signed off on the FISA warrants, and he says he don't remember or don't recall. What difference does that make? Is that a pass for him to get away with it? If he signed off on the FISA warrant, that ultimately there's no excuses in – period.
Well, okay, so let me go to Harry Edson on this, because Harry, there is a big issue here, and that is this accountability for if your name was on the FISA. So whether or not you weren't that involved in the process, and by the time it got to you, it was just kind of for final sign off. That's what we've also heard that from Rod Rosenstein. Same kind of thing. Like, you know, by the time it got to me, I just kind of breezed through it. It wasn't my job to get the details right. And we have a FBI attorney who's already pled guilty to a crime. For messing with the information that would get into the FISA on Carter Page. He deleted the information that Carter Page was a government asset of the United States. His cover's been blown now, but that's what he was. And this guy deleted that, Klein Smith. He's pled guilty to a crime, Harry. And what Jim Comey is trying to say is, well, I'm not actually responsible for that. And Rod Rosenstein. But here's my response back. That's not their legal theory when it was the CEO of Enron. That's not Andrew Weissman's theory when it's been corporate heads. They say that it doesn't matter whether or not you knew about it or not. You're responsible if you're the head.
I think that's correct, and I agree with the theory that was deployed with respect to the Enron investigation. The veracity of FISA warrants is quintessential with respect to the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution. James Comey essentially swore to the FISA court that the affidavit in support of the FISA warrant was indeed verified. That is clearly and unmistakably untrue. My own view is that he should be held strictly liable, strictly culpable, and he should face a criminal prosecution.
All right, folks, again, we have covered a lot today. I wanted to make sure we got to our FISA info. Now, if you want more information about it, you go to ACLJ.org, because Dan, we've got a great blog up there. It kind of walks people through that. So that can kind of help people out, because we've given them a lot of info at jump around dates. It goes up until Inauguration Day, the day before the inauguration this time. And we just find out that more and more how involved Obama was himself, how more involved Biden was himself, how more involved their top advisors were involved. It wasn't just the Jim Comey FBI guys and Peter Strzok. It was the Obama White House.
Absolutely. I really encourage people to go read that blog. I'm pretty confident they're going to come away with one conclusion, Jordan, and that is that James Comey is simply lying. He knew about all this, and the reason I'm so sure he knew about all of it, Jordan, is because when the White House needed a briefing on all the matters, who was called and who gave the briefings? James Comey. He knew. He's trying to conflate all the issues now, Jordan, but he was the one in charge. He was the boss. He signed the certifications. The caller's exactly right. He's the one with the fiduciary duty. Jordan's pretty simple. He's lying now.
Folks, we're building grassroots support as well for Judge Amy Coney Barrett online at ACLJ.org. I don't want you to forget that is coming, those hearings, on October 12th. And right now, again, we want you to sign that petition. Doesn't cost you a thing, at ACLJ.org, to support the confirmation of Judge Barrett, so she becomes Justice Barrett before Election Day. So we've got a full 9 justices on the Supreme Court. She's also a great constitutional conservative. And as she said, my judicial philosophy is the late Justice Scalia's judicial philosophy. I think you can get behind that. Sign the petition at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.